on a Monday morning. But to Duke, as you can imagine, this is the number one story of the day. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine, guys. How about you?
Good. We'll begin by asking, are you, with three games to go in the regular season, officially eliminated from the playoffs on Saturday, but we all knew that was a fait accompli before that. Are you surprised at the timing of this or not?
You know what? Not really. In fact, there was one of the main focuses of our post-game show, as you guys were talking about, a lot of the fans calling in. And my thought was this, that, you know, there was going to be a change. It was pretty clear that he wasn't coming back. And one of the things that the fans have been asking for is some sort of sense that there's a plan and there's going to be change and it needs to be made. And there's been a lot of silence from Oseg. And so I had made the comment on Saturday after the game that, if it's going to be done, maybe do it now. It's not going to change anything in terms of roster personnel moves the rest of the way. But send a message to the fans that, you know, change is coming and it's going to be happening. I mean, I would have thought it would have been handled a little bit differently. Maybe that they would have had a press conference of some kind to give Marcel his due for what he has done for the organization. But no, I think at the end of the day, they probably had to do something to send a message to the public that, you know, they weren't going to sort of stand for the way things were and changes were coming. So I'm not all that surprised at the timing.
Is much about the business side, Duke, at this point, and the timing of the firing?
Well, yeah, I mean, don't know. I think that the reality is, like I said, that, you know, the last three games of the season, the roster, the players that are here are going to finish out the year. It's not like you need a general manager in place to bring a bunch of guys in or make a bunch of changes. So I think, his contract was expiring anyway, so I think it just accelerated after the sense of hopelessness over the last few weeks and that fans have said that we're just really looking for something to be said or done.
With our Red Blacks analyst, Duke Ellingson. So we had Marcel on the station earlier this morning, Duke, and I mean, he was fairly candid, as he always has been when he's been on with us. He said when he was informed by Mark Gowdy, the team president, that he's being let go, he said he told him that he thought they were making a mistake. And he told us he believes the team, despite the record, is on the right track with a lot of good young players. Do you believe that's the case?
No, I don't. I mean, I think they've missed on too many players in the key positions of those players. And I'll say this, and I've said it, I think, for the last number of weeks, and maybe going back early in the season. I mean, I think when he hired Paul LaPolice, I believe that Paul said, I'm coming, but if I'm coming, I want Matt Nichols coming too. And I think that was the first mistake that they made as an organization, and I think that's just a huge miss that could set the franchise back a number of years. And I think they've had too many misses on some of the personnel on both sides of the ball. The defense has been pretty solid, but in this league, you need playmakers on offense, and I think they've really struggled to find the kind of American receivers that the other teams in the league have and the kinds of receivers that they had in here through the years where they went to the Grey Cup. So, no, I don't necessarily think the team is in very good shape, especially when you think about skill position and the offensive line, which is right now, you know, a complete train wreck.
Is the great part of the CFL, Duke, that you're not locked in and that you can turn this over pretty quickly?
Oh, 100%, and that's what you've seen year over year in this league. And I think, you know, it's interesting, LaPolice coming from Winnipeg, and I get that it's not always easy just to find the right guys. But if you look at the blueprint that Winnipeg has, especially on the offensive line, they've really fixated on having two real, you know, stud American tackles and then having the three kind of hard-working, you know, blue-collar interior linemen, and that has worked so well. They've had Andrew Harris as well, obviously, which helps them from the ratio standpoint. But they've kind of built that offensive line with that mentality, and I'm just surprised. I know they've been looking for those tackles. They're harder to find maybe than we think, but at the end of the day, I just think they've got a lot of work to do in those fronts, in those areas.
With Duke Ellingson, do you think, we're biased here in Ottawa. Do you think that when you think about the nine-team Canadian Football League, is the general manager position of the Ottawa Red Blacks as good as we think it is here in Ottawa, or are we maybe overrating it a little bit?
Do you mean in terms of the importance of it, or the ability of Marcel?
In terms of how desirable it is out there.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I mean, there's only nine of these jobs available, and in some cases you may even have a situation where the head coach doubles in that role, but no, I mean, I think anybody that fancies themselves a builder of a organization, a builder of a football team, and there's lots of those guys out there, I'd like to see them, you know, be a bit creative in the job search. But I think Ottawa's a pretty good destination. It's got the great fan base. We know it's got the new stadium. The questions about OSEG, I think, are legit, and that's why I'm curious to see when and if they come forward with some public statements on all of the questions that the fans are asking. And I think GMs would be asking the same things about the long-term commitment of the ownership group, and are they going to continue to be willing to do what it takes in terms of spending and in terms of going after marquee players to make this franchise viable again.
I asked directly to Marcel, are you spending the cap? He said yes. Duke, mm-hmm. Do you believe that? And if that's the case, then does that even say that they've missed even more on what should be a fairly level playing field here in the CFL?
Oh, it's funny you say that, because that's kind of my argument. You can't really have it both ways, because I think a lot of us have felt that maybe Marcel has been hamstrung by the ownership group not spending, which means that he couldn't bring in the players that he would have liked to, or they couldn't make offers in free agency to the guys that they would have liked to make. But if they are spending to the cap, then to your point, now they're misspending the capital, right? And they're bringing in the wrong guys, making the wrong decisions, and maybe sending the wrong messages to certain players as well. I mean, if you go back, I understand there's a finite amount of money to be spread around, but when you make a decision that somebody like a Greg Ellingson a couple of years ago, we just can't pay you X because we can't then pay everybody else. Maybe you let go a guy that really, was a difference maker for you. So it's, again, the decisions on where you spend that money. And if you have enough to spend, then, it is incumbent on the GM to make those decisions and make them well.
Although in the breadth of his answer to Simmer's question, he did say that he talked about the late retirement of Alex Mateus, mm-hmm. just before the season started, who was, very well compensated in Canadian Football League standards. Brad Sinopoli, same thing,
yep.
Retired late. And he mentioned Corey Tindall as well, who's an American defensive back, who's a key member. He decided to retire. I don't think the money part was as big with him. But he said, in these COVID times, it's hard, that late in the game, it's hard, he almost intimated it's hard to find to spend the money on. He said, in retrospect, we had to bring in a bunch of players, so we eventually spent the money. But I guess mm-hmm. the point was, if they hadn't known these guys were going to retire or not be back, that whatever that amount of money is, and I'll just use the ballpark figure of, let's say, 400 grand or more, yep. which is a significant amount of money. Mm-hmm. If they hadn't known that previous to that, they could have signed better players instead of just kind of covering their costs of just doing the American airlift that they do every year.
Yeah, and that's a very valid point, and it's one of the components of this whole discussion that is unique to the to the COVID era, things that never would have been contemplated before. We'll never really know how much that all played into the decisions that Alex Mateus and Brad Sinopoli specifically made, but it's fair. I mean, if you had that money in your pocket and you during free agency and you knew that you were going to have it to spend, maybe you pick different guys, maybe you make better decisions, or you can throw higher dollar amounts at the marquee guys that you'd like to try to lure. So that's fair, and I would probably say that I don't think any other CFL team had retirements late in the game like Ottawa did with two key players on the offensive side of the ball, both Canadians.
Do you, is that, I mean, given the fact, Duke, that they obviously didn't play any football at all last year, in any way, should Marcel Desjardins have known that that was a possibility? I'm talking about those two players in particular. Known that's a possibility, and if so, either demanded an answer or said, we're going to have to move on because we can't take the chance that you're not going to come back, given how important players you are and how much money that you're worth that I could spend. Did he maybe drop the ball there? Is that a fair criticism?
It could be, and we don't know all of the dynamics of those relationships. And, is it really reasonable for a general manager or an organization to have that kind of relationship with all of its players? Now, I would maybe make a case that when you've got a real linchpin guy like Sinopoli, who, so well-known in the community, so well-respected, the Ottawa connection, all of that, maybe you should have been a lot closer to him and a lot closer to those situations so that you had a sense of really what he was thinking or maybe made it more. I mean, we've all heard that, we know that the players took a prorated salary cut going into the season because of the 14 games versus 18. But maybe, maybe Brad never felt like they came to him and said, we're trying to find a way to make this a little bit more palatable for you specifically because of what you mean to the organization, and maybe they missed the boat there. So I don't know how close they are to the players, how close Marcel is to the players to be able to know all of that. But the timing was, it couldn't have been more unfortunate for any team to have to replace guys like that so late in the game.
What's the Red Blacks' reputation around the league with players and other management?
Well, you know what? I've heard I've heard multiple things, and I mean, we all know that Marcel. I mean, one of the things we all have liked about him is he's very direct. You know, when he comes on with you guys, I've heard, you know, many interviews, and I've spoken with him. He's really quite direct, and at the same time, that can play the other way, because I think he's probably some people off over the years because he is so direct, and we know he's lost some players maybe as a result of those relationships. So I'm not sure. I mean, I think what will help players, if they have that sense, if that's a bit of a sense around the league, that maybe that with him gone now, there'll be a bit of a fresh start, and hopefully some players will say this is a kind of a landing place that I'd like to think about going into 2022.
Our friend Simmer Duke has forwarded Henry Burris's name as a guy who should be considered for that. Hank's got a pretty good job right now in Chicago, but who knows? But I guess sort of a broader question. Do you think the next general manager of the Ottawa Redblacks necessarily has to be a CFL lifer, or is part of the equation someone who has the ability to kind of be a salesman in a, you know, let's bring in as many good guys as we can to Ottawa because I want you to come and play for me. And Henry Burris is a very popular player. There's no doubt about that. And you know that. So maybe Burris, maybe someone like Burris. Like, do you think that's do you think they should consider that, or should they go with someone who has a lot of experience within the game?
Well, I guess sort of a truism in the business world that people don't leave companies, they leave leaders. And I think maybe you could make the same case for people coming to organizations, including sports organizations, that may not come for the team or the business, but they come for the person. In other words, if a general manager is there that can sell and can provide a sense that it's going to be a great place to be and a great place to play, maybe you get somebody with that kind of reputation. I think the unique thing about trying to find general managers in the CFL, and Marcel said this to me early in the season, he said, you know, people don't really realize how hard it is to build a team when you've got all these parameters. You've got the Canadian versus the American, you've got the global piece now, you've got the issues around the import players that are deemed to be Canadians or non-imports, depending how long they played in the league, that you can replace during the game. He said there's all these parameters that you're trying to figure out. It's not just assessing talent. But at the end of the day, I would say that the guy that they need to bring in here has to have a real good network of scouts and people that he knows within the U.S. college system, because that's where you're, you know, kind of bread and butter. We're all going to be able to identify who the good Canadian kids are coming up. It's really finding those key American players that can come and make a difference. And I think that's what they need to find, is somebody that can really evaluate talent.
Yeah, I wish people, Duke, behind the scenes could see the manager of people, and also in trying to build a culture. I put a lot into Hank and Nicole, so that's part of the factor. Mm-hmm. Also, just kind of Redblacks thing, already putting out a statement now just via Dave Naylor. But when I hear somebody say, well, they want to find a general manager that'll keep the coach, that only tells me they don't want to pay the coach to stay home. And so they're going to find somebody that's going to come in and basically say, hey, the coach is great, and you're just going to move ahead.
Anyway, and that's a real dangerous game to play, and I agree 100%. JR was asking about it being a great place to come. I think if you're a general manager and you're going to, you know, risk your reputation and you're going to risk your livelihood to come here, you do not want to be put in a box where you're going to say, you know, you're not going to have a say. Because it never works when the general manager is forced to keep the head coach, and then you know, he's got a better idea of who he would like coming in, just like head coaches don't want to be told who their assistants are. And so I think that's a real dangerous approach, and it'll be interesting to see, with all of that in mind, who ends up stepping forward or who they can bring in. You'd hate to feel at the end of the day as a fan that they ended up having to settle for something other than their first choice, because their first choice wouldn't agree to those terms.
Do you think LaPolice is a good head coach?
I think the jury is still out. I mean, he hasn't had a great record as a head coach in this league. He's maybe been, and there are lots of coaches we know that are better as coordinators. So far, I mean, there's a lot of in-game decisions that I've really struggled with, his decision-making, especially on things like third-down gambles. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure he's a great head coach. I think he's a pretty good coordinator, and I think he's a pretty good quarterback coach, but I'm not quite sure yet. He's, I would say, with great certainty, they've got the right head coach.
Last one for you on Paul LaPolice. Are you a believer? We've seen it in other markets in the Canadian Football League where the coach is the coach and the GM. And maybe he's got an assistant who does a lot of the legwork with the GM, but it's obviously a common vision because there's only one guy. He's the guy getting the players, and he's the guy that that coaches the players as well. Are you a fan of that, or do you like the job as two separate jobs?
I like it separate. I mean, I think there are some success stories in both the NFL and the CFL where it's worked in some cases, but you have to have a pretty strong personality. And you're right. I mean, splitting the duties between trying to figure out all of the nuances of a salary cap, and as Simmer was talking about, you know, building your culture, all the things that GMs have to do while you're still trying to run the team on the field, I think it's too big of a job for one guy, and it takes a pretty special person to make it work.
All right. Good stuff, man. It's been a crazy couple hours here.
Yeah. I feel bad. I feel bad for Marcel, and I have said for almost every post-game show to the fans, you know, let's not forget what this guy did to build this organization and to take them to 3 Grey Cups in 4 seasons, including a championship. So he deserves an awful lot of credit and thanks for what he's done here.
Appreciate the time and the insight, as always, Duke.
Have a great day, guys.